My name's Sue Fearon. My full-time job is working for Birmingham City Mission. I also serve in my local church, which is City Evangelical Church in Birmingham, on the Sunday school team. And I've been involved in teaching children for a very long time. I've been involved in teaching children from a Christian perspective since I was converted, which was about 18 years ago. And it's been my full-time work for the last 15 years. But as I've already said to those of you who were in a bit earlier, it's not my natural comfort zone to use craft. I'm quite comfortable teaching children the Bible. I'm quite comfortable communicating, explaining to children. But when it comes to craft, I feel a little bit fingers and thumbs and can somebody else do it, please? But it doesn't work like that. It's all part and parcel of the package. And there are times when we all need to know a bit about craft. One other little thing I'm going to say is, some of you know me quite well, but in the last 12 months I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's, so please don't be put off if I struggle suddenly, if I'm grasping for words or if I'm struggling with physical things. Just ignore it, it goes away. I get used to it. Okay, so first off, why do we do craft at all? I think one of the reasons that we do craft is to do with learning styles. Some of you will be familiar with something called Gardner's Theory of Intelligence. And a chap called Gardner came up with this bright idea that there were seven different ways of thinking, and they're all different measures of intelligence. So the standard measure for intelligence that most of you would think about on an IQ test really only tests verbal linguistic reasoning. So it's looking at language and use of language, it's looking at number and use of number. And Gardner said, no, there's much more to intelligence than that. Some of it's kinetic intelligence, some of it's musical intelligence. And he had all these different ideas. And from Gardner's ideas came the educational backbone of our modern teaching system. And that is that children have a variety of learning styles. It doesn't stop us from defaulting to the verbal linguistic. And we often do that. And particularly in conservative evangelical churches where we're really centred on the word, we're really centred on expository preaching, we can very easily find ourselves talking to our children as though they're mini adults, as though they're mini pastors or mini vicars. And it isn't necessarily the most helpful way to teach children. So one of the reasons we do craft is because children do learn differently. They have different learning styles based on their different natural ways of expressing intelligence. And this is something that is reflected in industry. ROSPA, the Royal Society for Prevention of Accidents, produced some lovely statistics, and I don't remember the numbers exactly anymore, but right down the bottom is the way we learn when somebody tells us something and all we're doing is listening. Then a little bit higher up the chain comes when we hear it and we see it. So we get visual aids and we're told. A little higher up the chain gets when we see it, we hear it, we see it, and we do it. So the more engaged we are with what we're learning, the more we learn. And that's something that's been taken on board in industry, particularly for health and safety, because it's important that people learn. And we think that what we're teaching in our churches to our children and young people is even more important than health and safety. It's about life and death, eternal life and death. And that's the biggest deal there is. So we want to make the most of what we know about the way people learn. Another reason for doing craft is because craft can serve as a distraction. Or is that as a focus? You see, children, may I have one of my half sheets of paper, please? I think I'm going to keep it with you. Is that fair? You were given a piece of paper as you came in. And I'd like you to fold a pleat about a centimetre along on the narrow side. Just one pleat. I was talking to one of the pastors of our church about the fact that children and young people often concentrate better when they're being distracted. So with your first fold, I would like you to write the word Xerxes. So that's capital X, E-R-X-E-S. And this would be something I might use, this particular distraction I might use. I'm going to fold another fold now, and you might want to fold it too. I'm actually going to do a double fold. So I'm bringing that fold down and making another fold. And now on the second bit, I'm going to write Vashti. And I'm thinking that I could use, for those of you who don't know her name, Vashti was a queen, and it's V-A-S-H-T-I. So you've got Xerxes and Vashti. And you might have worked out that we're looking at the story of the book of Esther. So then fold again. And on your next fold down, of course, one of the problems when children are doing is, like grown-ups, they can sometimes chat too. So it's to do and listen. So you've got Xerxes, Vashti, and now on the next fold down, we're going to write the word no. Because Vashti said no to the king. And then we're going to do another pair of pleats. And this time, does anybody know what King Xerxes did to Queen Vashti when she said no? He banished her, he told her to go. So our next word is go. And at this point, I'm going to quickly whip to the end of the story and finish making my folds. And of course, you would plan your story and your number of folds for as many as you wanted to do. And at the end of my story about Queen Esther, which starts with Xerxes, Vashti, no and go, I would say that Queen Esther said, "Thank heavens, that's all over." Okay. And what you have there is a nice distraction activity. And they're concentrating in spurts. So you're telling them the story and you're getting them to write these little bits. And at the end, they have something that they can take away. And the something that they can take away is actually a visual reminder of the story. So they've rehearsed the story as they've created the craft. So one of the reasons that we can do craft is to distract or help children focus. So a lot of children, you'll find, will like to doodle while you're talking, or they like to fiddle. We have a special needs coordinator on the children's team at BCM, and she actually brings fidgets. There are toys called fidgets, and they're intended just for people to fiddle with while they're listening, because some children, particularly some on the autistic spectrum, concentrate much, much better if their fingers are occupied. So often, as grown-ups, we want to say, no, put that down, sit still and listen. Actually, we're wrong. It's not always the best thing for every child. So having craft or something that is distracting and enables them to listen while doing is often a good way of doing it. I've often found, too, that when you're doing the craft, if you've done the craft after the story bit, whilst they're doing the craft, whilst they're doing the colouring in, whilst they're doing the gluing, whilst they're concentrating or waiting their turn for whatever the bit of equipment is, you can actually be talking to them either about their week, which is about building relationships with them, or you can be talking to them about what you've just taught them and how they're reacting to that and how that's going to affect how they live next week. So the distraction of craft can just be a time when they're sort of occupied, but they're free to do thinking, they're free to relate to you spiritually. I was talking to one of, I think I was about to say this and forgot, but I was talking to one of the adult pastors at church, and he was saying that with adults, if they're not looking at you, you know you've lost them. But that's not true with children. Just because they're not looking at you, they've still got a pair of these, one each side, and it's amazing how they've used them. And those of you who've ever lived with children of any description, whether they're your own or somebody else's, you will know that their ears are like radar. They can be one end of the building and you can whisper some at the other end. And if it's something you want to hear, they've heard it. So never be put off by the fact that their heads are down and they're colouring away or doodling away or sticking away. They can still be listening, and often they're doing their best listening then. So one of the kinds of craft that I really favour are crafts that give us a visual reminder of the story. So just like this, they can go home and they can retell that story using the fan. But I've got a number of other crafts with me. And these are one of my favourites. These are story cubes. We never quite finish a cube because we find it's actually easier to manage it if it's just... But that's just a net that we put up on the computer, and then we put our different pictures on it, and we put Keyverse on the top. And a story cube that enables you to tell the story and retell the story. This is a really good device for younger children. Most crafts work well for younger children because younger children really don't mind the sort of whole colouring in bits, and they don't get bored of that. Some of the older children don't like that as much. But older children do quite often like the construction crafts, things that they have to make. And we find that making these with glue dots is better than any other kind of glue because it's quick to dry. And it's not a wet glue, and it's also quite a powerful glue. It doesn't leave you in a complete and utter mess. So those are quite good for recapping the story. And I've got another one in here that's quite good. So crafts that help you with the story. You might sort of work out which story this is after working out. But stories that you can then tell, and he's got a hole in his head so that you can hang him up, and he can be the man who couldn't walk because everything wibbles and wobbles. But children will enjoy making this kind of story. This kind of story does make it easy for them to go home and say, what did you learn in Sunday school today? Oh, well, I learned about the man who couldn't walk, and then Jesus sorted him out and forgave his sin, and suddenly he could. So a story that reminds them, that prompts them, a craft that prompts them to remember the story. Another one of my favourites. There's a lady here today whose daughter is about to go from primary school to secondary school, and I remember making this with her when she was two. But we have that one. And I like that one. So we have walking through to see. And again, a good one for telling a story, so you can actually have a look at people and walk them through. Okay, so that's definitely one kind of craft that I like. Another way of using craft is as a visual reminder of the application. So we've got a visual reminder of the story content, and then we want a visual reminder of the application. And that could be something as simple as a little light that shines. So, you know, our application could be Jesus, the light of the world. You don't have to use candles for being Jesus, the light of the world. I mean, that's a fishy story. There's some nice little fish on there. I think that came from the Splash Holiday Club from Jonah. But simple things like candles, maybe something cut in the shape of a foot could be a really good reminder on the application of following. We have another light of the world. Light of the world's a really good one. This is a little stained glass window. And all that is a piece of acetate with glass pens, and then just coloured in, popped on a card. So you can have visual reminders of applications. You can do things that are really simple or complicated. This is meant to be this way up, and the sheet's meant to be that way up as well. But it didn't quite work out that way. I think it's the demo one, and it got stuck the wrong way. But simple things can actually be a really good way of reminding a child of what they've been learning about. With stuff like this, if you're doing it with little children, you might want to do all the cutting out for them. If you're doing it with bigger children, they can do it for themselves. And the verse can be kept very simple. So actually, that might have been intended to be like that at first, but I have done these as cards. So crafts can be a variety of things. They can be visual reminders of the story. They can be visual reminders of the application. They can be related to a key verse. Several of the things you'll see me use have verses on. Now, It depends what age group you're working with, but some of your children will be pre-literate. Doesn't mean they can't have verses. They live with people who can read. So a verse like that, you can actually teach children to remember that orally. And if it's pinned up somewhere at home, they can see the picture and they might sort of say, shepherd, and then the parent can actually say, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, verse 1. So think about the whole family setting. You're not just creating something for that child at that moment. You're creating something that can go home. And if things are attractive, when they go home, they get kept. This is a secret box. It looks like a book. You put it onto your bookshelf. But actually, when you open it up, it's a box. Now, these aren't the cheap crafts. I think we pay about 80p a time for these. And they're one of the more expensive crafts that I do. But they're definitely one of the crafts that the children keep. At Birmingham City Mission, we run a holiday club in one of the poorer parts of Birmingham every February. And the children who live in this area basically all come from Muslim families. And they're basically quite poor, and they don't have a lot in the way of personal possessions. Things tend to be communal. So when we send them home with a decent craft, they keep them. And I was talking to a school secretary whose 25-year-old came to our club when she was 10, and they still have the crafts that she made. So when we do things, they can be a reminder. So in their house, and it's not the only house in that area where it's the case, there are crafts that sit on a shelf in a valued treasure place that say, not all Christians think that we're a waste of space. Not all Christians ignore us. Not all Christians are immoral and careless. Because they think often that people, white Brits, are basically all Christian, which sadly not all white Brits are Christian. But these little craft items witness in those homes all the time, all year round, year after year. So spending a bit of money on a craft is no bad thing from time to time. You can do crafts to do all sorts of things. We, at City Church, we planted, don't know if any of the Grace Church people are in here at the moment, but some of our planters, planties are here today. We planted several years ago, and when the Sunday we said goodbye to our plant, we actually made little plant pots, and we took those away, and we remembered that just like plants, our planted friends needed to be watered, and our planted friends would be watered by our prayers. So these were little prayer reminders for us to pray for our church plant. I said I often use verses. This was a verse that we did in Sunday school fairly recently, and I had one of the older groups. I normally have the 9s to 11s. And my 9s to 11s, well, they don't really want to do your colouring, thank you very much, not often. Occasionally, if it's worth it, but not often. But they love my laminator. If I take the laminator in and say, oh, we're going to do something, do some laminating, they're there. So we did laminating, and they went home with a Bible verse. As you receive Christ the Lord, so continue to live in him, keep your roots deep in him, and have your lives built on him, and be strong in the faith, just as you were taught, and always be thankful. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. And then we took our spare bit of wall, and we covered up part of the wall, and saw if we could still do it, and we played around with it a bit. And so they went home with the two bits, so they could not only have the verse, but they could also mess about until they could remember it. So craft doesn't have to be twee and colouring. I went in an old drawer looking to see what I could bring, and I've got all sorts of things. I haven't actually fiddled with this one, so I can't remember exactly what I did with this, but... Ah, really? I think those must be the angels, do you reckon? And these must be the women. So we've got women, and we've got a gap, and we've got angels. And over here, we've got a moving thing, so let's move it. So we've got a body on a stone. And if we move it again, we've got a stone with no body. Well, that's clearly, every picture tells a story. You can imagine us having great fun with that, can't you? So it isn't really rocket science, and it's certainly not A-level art. I mean, this is, you know, pretty basic. And if you can't draw basic things yourself, you probably find that there's somebody around who can, whether it's a member of your family or perhaps an older teenager at church. There's going to be somebody around who can draw. Half the time, if you've got the time to ask somebody to do it, they can do it for you. And the other half of the time, get a DVD called Ultimate Visual Aids. It's a DVD version of How to Cheat at Visual Aids. How to Cheat at Visual Aids was a photocopyable book, and Ultimate Visual Aids is a DVD form of the same thing, with both Scripture Union publications, and they're both completely photocopyable. And they're brilliant. Really good. These visual images, £4 from both of those. And the computer version is so good. Once you've got the knack of it, you just download the picture you want and stick it where you want. Not that I ever do it, of course. I have people under 20 who do that. I don't get on with computers, particularly. But as I said, this isn't my comfort zone. Now, this is a nice one. This is Fran did this with some of our younger children when they were about 4, I think. And I reckon that this was the loaves and fishes, don't you? That looks like it to me. And I could imagine that was great fun, sticking all these. They like things that stick on without glue, and even the little ones can be trusted with those. And then you've got some bits there that stick on with glue. I can see that that would have been just great fun to make. This one I quite like, and again, dead simple. And it says, Father God, please help us to become wise. Give us eyes and ears that look and listen, hearing all you have to say. Give us mouths and hands which don't hurt others, mouths and hands quick to obey. And give us hearts that want to love you, hearts that trust you every day. And you start off with the basic shape, which they colour in and put the features on. So again, not difficult, but a little bit one up from just colouring in a picture. But of course, some of the younger ones, they really benefit from colouring in a picture, especially if they can do it with glue. And that's just so easy. I would say I got that out of a publication. Looks exactly like something that you'd get out of a book like Flick. And there are lots of good things in different Sunday school books. And don't feel that you always have to use the bit that's for this week. There's nothing wrong with using a craft or using a craft idea from another week and changing it. Now, this has got sadly rather bent, but if you join the two fat bits and these bits go up in the air, so particularly if it's made on card, get yourself a nice Christmas angel. And that isn't difficult, but again, for a younger child, that can be quite good fun to make. And you can make those as table decorations, you can put people's names on, so you can have them for Christmas Day. And you can actually blow that myth about the fairy on top of the Christmas tree, it's meant to be an angel. So nice, easy things. Little ones, story of Noah. Nice. Wasn't my idea, I nicked it. I'm a great believer in there's no such thing as plagiarism in the kingdom of God. I know there's intellectual copyright, and I do respect intellectual copyright, but if it's anything you've seen me do and I've made it, feel free. It's all for kingdom. Isn't that lovely? Of course, you're not allowed to then take my ideas and publish them and make money out of it. That's not fair. Key rings. You can buy these key rings quite easily. You have to buy them in fairly big numbers, but they're in pence. Keep them for forever. And you can have something as easy as that. Love God and others. And that's just that foam stuff. And the letters come ready-made. You don't have to cut them out. Or you could be a bit fancier and you can make your own memory key ring. So here we have B key ring. These are very popular. Boys like doing these in their football colours, and the girls like the glittery ones best. But here we have a set of key verses on a key ring, and
each, this was a camp that we did with Camp Excel at the Games, Midlands Gospel Partnership Junior Camp. And last year, as part of the teaching, they went away with a key verse every day, and the key verses got laminated and got put on here. And that's quite a fun craft, because there wasn't anything particularly fiddly or girly, but there was something to do, and they enjoyed that, and it meant that they went away with a lot of memories, and also the big key ring, very popular. Nowadays, you can buy stuff. So you can buy this, dead easy, and you can turn that into that.
Matches your outfit.
My best colour. But dead easy again, not an expensive thing. You wouldn't want to do it every 5 minutes, but they're great things to do when you're perhaps doing a special series. Maybe you'd be looking at the Book of Kings, and you're talking about kings and queens every week. Maybe you'd be talking about heaven, and you want to be talking about the King of Heaven. And it's worthwhile investing in something like that. We do a holiday club. VCM have a holiday club called Slash, which is the Book of Jonah, 4-day holiday club. And one of our favourite crafts for Slash is that. And again, very popular, not very difficult. Can be a lot fancier. You can make them much more complex than that. I meant to bring them with me, but my lift arrived 10 minutes earlier than I was expecting this morning, so I didn't get to them. But also make things like spoon puppets, you know, wooden spoon. Use the back of the wooden spoon as the face, and either using some of this foam stuff on it or pens. Use wool for the hair, use bits of fabric. My husband, whenever his shirts dye, they go to the puppet making box in the cupboard. And those shirts turn into headgear or tunics or cloaks. And they love making their own puppets. When we had a group of preschoolers, we did a series at church on the disciples, and we just looked at the disciples for the whole term. And one of the first things we did was we made disciple puppets. And then every week the disciple puppets came out. And a good way to keep your spoon puppets is get yourself a big egg box and put holes in the top of the egg box, and you stand them in the egg box, you put the lid down, and then have holes in them, and your spoons will stand up in there. And that works quite well, especially if you weight your egg box down. So, other kinds of things. Again, talking about a nice craft that reminds you, you can actually buy animal wind chimes, make them, paint them and make them, and you could put a verse on the back. You could have a variety of them, you could do all sorts of things with these. But there are times when actually giving them a really nice craft that's something good to take home is a great idea. We just had a holiday club, and our theme was that we're valued by God, and we called the club Treasured. And every time I said Treasured, everybody had to say, "We are." So Treasured?
We are.
Excellent. And we were telling the children about treasure in heaven, and we were talking to the children about God's people being treasured and valued and precious to God. And we made treasure boxes, and they could take their treasure boxes home and put whatever they wanted into. It's an idea we've used before in other circumstances. Here's another box, and this box has got real treasure in it, because this box, which has been decorated beautifully, although a couple of its sequins have gone, this box has got little scrolls of paper. And of course, each of these little scrolls of paper is real treasure, because it's the word of God. God is our protection and our strength. He always helps in times of trouble. Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. And when we did this craft, we actually had a variety of these little verses on slips, ready for them to cut out. and they could choose which verses they wanted, cut them out for themselves, and then roll them up and put them into their own little treasure box. And I think promise boxes are a really nice thing to make with a slightly older child. A lot of the crafts work with the under sevens better. Something like this works really well with 8 to 11. Then you can have fun stuff, like a nice fishy pencil poppers. And it's just a fish shape with a cutout there that the pencil goes through. And you can make those in all sorts of shapes. You can buy this card, which is rainbow card, and when you scratch it, you reveal rainbow colours underneath. Again, it's not very expensive. You can get this in the shape of crowns. You can get it in the shape of blindfolds, like an eyepiece. You can get little people, and they wind up and walk. It's not going to walk on me, but it does walk. It sits little feet going. And painting little people, again, you've got little puppets, you can paint them biblical characters. You can send them home as a reminder of the story that we've told. You can have, this is a little family set. So this is little lollipop stick puppets, which ones get a bit sad. And these have been made to resemble somebody's family, because the theme was our family. But again, you could turn these into characters of a story so that the children could take them home as story props. And something that I discovered because somebody pointed me in the direction of it, you can buy little rough wooden crosses and other things too, but little rough wooden crosses. And you give this to a boy with some sandpaper. They are so happy. And they'll sit and fiddle, getting the rough edges off the cross, just so happily. And I just think, what a great thing for them to have. A cross that they might want to keep in their pocket or put on the side. And the girls enjoyed it too, but the boys, it was just a revelation to see these boys with sandpaper. You think, she's really made for it, don't you? And they just fiddled away with them, and we could talk to them. And we were talking about the cross. It was an Easter session that we were doing. And they just played with those for hours. Just such a simple thing, and not very dear. And if you just Googling wooden crosses, they pop up. There's whole ranges of them you can get. And then this was another idea that we came up with. This was a Christmas idea. And what we did here is we have found a Bible verse for every day of December up to Christmas. And you basically take your coloured paper and you don't put sequential dates onto one colour. So the orange ones, I'm not going to get these out either. The orange ones is December the 1st, 7th, 13th and 19th. The green ones have got 2nd, 8th, 14th and 20th and so on. So you've got four or five different colours here with verses on. And the idea is that each day in December they get to take out one strip from their envelope and make it into a loop. And then over the course of the month they end up with paper chain, but an advent paper chain. So those are the different things that I bought to show you. And I thought now would be a good time. Well, actually, we've only got 7 minutes left, so I'll just make sure I've covered all the points I really wanted to. I think for those of you who aren't sure about craft, can I just encourage you to be open to craft? Because one of the things that we have about us that's reminiscent of God, our Creator, is our creativity. And it's very easy for us to be dismissive and say, I can't do craft, and to switch off from it. But if we're open to craft, God will develop you as you think about and pray about what you're going to do. He will actually show you ways of being creative, even if you don't feel particularly creative yourself. Another point I wanted to say was variety, variety, variety. Don't feel that you have to do craft every week, and don't feel you have to do the same kind of craft every week. Quite often with my 9s to 11s, I don't do a craft, I do an activity instead. So when we were doing Ruth and the gleaning,
I took my giant pickup sticks, and that was a good bit of gleaning. We played pickup sticks, and that went down so well, but we were talking about what gleaning would be like, and we were playing pickup sticks. So imagine if you were gleaning and you were only allowed to glean the bits that weren't touching anything else. I mean, that's what, you know, again, pickup sticks is. So think about variety. Remember that boys must be boys. I was actually in Jonty's session earlier, and he was talking about teaching boys. And it really brought back to mind, I had a conversation with one of the deacons of our church some years ago. His little boy at the time was about two and was a right handful. Lovely lad, but my word, was he hard work. And the rest of them were all sweet little girls who just sat and did things beautifully. And there was juicing, and he just did whatever he wanted to do. And normally his mum would pick him up from Sunday school. And this particular day, Dad came to pick him up. And he was watching him sort of creating a little mayhem. And he chuckled to himself and he said, you know, he said, I was exactly like that when I was his age. And God did one of those lighthouse moments. And it was like a great little light just beamed in on me and said, yeah, look at that. Look at this man of God and look at that boy. He mustn't be crushed. And I think sometimes, particularly girls, we can want our children to be sitting there doing their nice bit of craft and being gentle and sweet, but boys must be boys. And we can't expect them to turn into girls, and actually we don't want them to. We want to grow men in our church, not, you know, false images of women. So when you're planning your craft, think about your boys. Think about how they're going to engage with it and be prepared for the fact that you're going to produce a craft that one little girl is going to spend half an hour doing very carefully and one little boy is going to give 2 minutes to, if that. As long as you can cope with that, that's all right. Craft and activity, I think I've already covered a bit. It is a bit of an age-related issue. It's just a question of being alert to what the children are doing, and children aren't all at the same stage and age at the same time. Depends partly what they get to do at home and what their natural gifting is. So think about your craft and activity and be prepared to vary it. And if you really want a winning craft that everybody's going to want to do, get the food out. Food craft always works. Whether it's decorating biscuits or assembling a checkerboard of two different flavours of cake, that's quite a good one, you know, jamming it together with buttercream and stuff. You can do all sorts of things with food and you have their entire attention. But don't waste that, because that's perhaps best left for special occasions.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's when we do messy church, all the children come in, want the drinks and the cakes of biscuits.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that was pretty well what I had in mind for you. And we've got about 3 minutes left, and I wondered what you had in mind. Actually, we've got more than that, haven't we? I don't think they throw us out for another 15, actually, thinking about it. Where am I? 2:15. No, we're okay. No, we aren't. 2 minutes. So, any idea, anything from you? Anything you'd like to share? Any questions you want to ask?
Where did you get back to? This is far, you said you
bought something. Oh, yes. I deliberately brought my catalogues with me so that you could see. The main catalogue, and where we get most things from, is Baker Ross. Google Baker Ross. Baker as in the man who bakes bread, and Ross, R-O-S-S. And the other place that we have been getting some stuff from lately that we like is Crafty Crocodiles. So Baker Ross and Crafty Crocodiles. Yes?
Best place to get craft is also go round to the lake. They are fantastic generally, and Baker, worth going to them before you try Baker Ross, because you might be able to buy it for a pound or something.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Sorry.
I tend to be buying in volume, so this is always
and
the best
also,
way to.
There's a Christian one that gives you all the Christian ones, and it begins with I, and I can't remember the name. But
there's a Christian one beginning with I. Anybody know the name?
Yeah, they give you all the, you can buy all the bits and bobs and things.
No.
They're very good. They're located up.
Well, it'd be really helpful if we knew what they were called. Nobody know what they're called? No, I've not come across
the
them.
The Christian Resources Exhibition will be on the ground floor.
Okay, so If you go to the Christian Resources exhibition, have a look, ground floor. If you find out who they are, it'd be great if you email round the partnership. We'd all like to know who they are. For those of you working with very little ones, there are some extremely simple and very good craft ideas in here. And if you've not got this book, go and look at it on the bookstore before you go home anyway. If you're teaching under sevens, I think this is an essential book to have on the shelf if you're teaching under sevens. Very, very good book. And it will have a number of craft ideas, amongst other things, but it teaches, it tells you a lot about just getting the message through to the littlies. Okay, anything else that anyone would like to share before we have to vacate the room? Well, thank you very much for listening.